afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena
and Karen. Hello, everyone.
Hey. Now, today we are going to talk about the ins and outs of seed raising.
That is right, Selena. I hope you've got your listening ears on today.
Well, yes, I've got my headphones.
All right, but I'm sure you know all the ins and outs already with this business.
I confess I'm not the expert at raising seeds. I'm a bit of a bad mum. I'd rather have them already grown and then transplant them.
Yeah.
They're a bit finicky. But if you know what you're doing, then and you're there all the time to look after them as they grow, they take a lot of time and attention.
That's right. And guys, you know, nurturing your plant from a tiny seed to a delicious crop of veggies or a stunning floral display provides satisfaction second to none for all gardeners. So if you do see it coming, you know, to fruition from that tiny little seed.
Yeah.
There's nothing better and nothing more rewarding.
It's a miracle.
A miracle of life, that's right. So I've put together a few basic tips. Maybe this will help you, Selena.
Okay.
In your seed raising journey.
Yes.
There's actually 12 steps. I condensed it down.
12 steps?
Mm-hmm.
It's like an Seedaholics Anonymous.
You seem to know a lot about that, Selena. Do you want to talk about it? maybe another time.
Another time.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. Anyway, what are the listeners going to be thinking now? Right, but we did confess last week that
we are
Selena and Karen, and we are plantaholics, and we welcome all to share their stories. And it has a time of being a plantaholic because it's spring and it's crazy. I actually saw your garden in the week just before I get started with the
rundown. Did you do a drive-by?
Yes, while you were busy working. I was busy scoping out your garden. It's looking amazing. All those flowers and bloom. It's just beautiful, Selena.
Thank you.
Well done.
Now,
gold sticker for you.
Can we go to step one?
Well, what I'll do is I'll just give you a quick overview.
Okay,
so it goes, containment is the first thing, preparing the soil is the next, step two, then sowing, then a step called covering, then we're going to discuss where, like the environment, all right, where to put them, and then hydrate, next germinate, germination process.
Right.
What to do during that time. Then at step eight is transplantation.
Okay, that's the part that I tend to do.
Yeah, where you come in at step eight via mitre 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then hardening off and then planting out, nourishing, and then the final step is protecting. So it's really quite simple, but I'm the same as you. I've actually struggled growing some seeds and I've just not bothered. You get busy and it's like raising a baby, you know, you basically need to shut down your life.
I was
until
thinking,
you know,
about the whole raising babies, and the same with seeds is a lot of people think you need the right time to do it. And of course, as we know with the moon cycles, there is a time that's best.
I actually, of course, brought that into this as well.
Oh,
as
good. So you can talk about that.
Yeah. And don't worry, there's no breastfeeding involved in this process, so all is well.
What
that takes that out.
The unplanned strategy.
Oh, you're a cracker. Why not? Just go with it, is what I say when it comes to that.
So
what
your
will be,
oats.
Will be. So let's start at step one, guys.
Okay.
Containment. Okay, we need to contain these seeds. Seeds will often do well grown in containers such as seed raising trays and pots. And however, I just wanted to make mention there are certain seeds like peas, carrots and beans, I couldn't think of any others, but they do seem to do better sown directly into the garden. So, yeah.
Yep, I've just got a packet of dwarf peas here and I'm looking at the back and it does sort of say where to plant. It doesn't say direct, but it says best grown in full sun in well-worked, rich well-drained soil. Mm. Sheltered
well, I'm going to talk about
wind.
That. That's step two, soil.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, at the community garden, we always plant beans directly into the soil.
Yes. They're big enough.
Yeah, they can. They're robust enough. They're hardy enough to cope with that. So, yeah. Anything to add to that?
The reason why some of us plant direct and some in containers is because birds might get them.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to get them going sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Or you need to... Sometimes it's just easier because you've got a container. You can do it at your height. You don't have to bend down.
Mm.
And then when it's ready, you can...
And the other thing is with seedlings is that birds, insects, gastropods...
Yeah.
They all seem to just... Well, I guess it's like us. Like for me, when I get a baby greens, it's so yummy. Yummy scrummies. So I guess the animals are the same and they're easy pickings. They're exposed. So if you've got them in the protection of your greenhouse or whatever, just growing in a tray, it's far more likely that they're going to survive the germination process.
As using the analogy of babies, it would be like having baby at hospital as opposed to home birth.
Oh, true that.
So you have everything you need in case something goes wrong. You've got help.
Yeah, that's right. So let's move on to preparing the soil. It's not recommended, guys, to use soil directly from your garden. And when I first started gardening, I just used to do this. And I don't want to sound, patronising, how ridiculous. But
well, you
it
didn't
is,
know.
It's a natural thing, And what if we didn't have... the hardware stores where you could go and get all this fancy perfect soil mix,
Need to mix it yourself, Karen, with several parts soil, sand, and then what do you call it? They call it perlite or vermiculite,
that kind of pumicey stuff, and the reason why it's not a good idea to go directly just to the soil in the backyard is because often it's too heavy. It contains unwanted seeds, insect eggs, larvae, undesirable microbes could be in there. And more often than not, like you mentioned, the soil will not adequately drain.
Mm.
And that's a big factor if you want your babies to, germinate. They need to have everything just so. And it's the same if you've got a bun in the oven. Everything's got to be, it's quite amazing, isn't it? Just so, and if it's not, you miscarry.
Yeah.
So I guess it's the same with seeds, and we do not want that to happen. So give them a good start by using a light free-draining soil mix. I just get a store-bought seed-raising mix, it's called.
The
same. Tui seed-raising mix contains Acadia seaweed.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I usually just go for the cheapest one within the budget, but I might look into that. But apparently the seaweed helps to protect seedlings from common soil-borne diseases, so...
Okay, all good.
I mean, I'm a big fan of the seaweed for many reasons, so yeah, that's just a little bit of information there for anyone that's going to give it a go. Look into that. And they also, the seed raising mix also contain starting nutrients, and these help prevent what they call, they help the seedlings grow and grow strong, and the stronger the seedling, the better they are to avoid transplant shock.
Okay.
Which is when we'll talk about transplantation.
Yeah.
Later on. Now, once you've got your soil, if you're using containers, fill the container with the mix up to 1 centimetre from the top, is recommended, and then tap the container to settle the mix if necessary. And if necessary, add more soil. And then water the seed-raising mix lightly to ensure the soil is moist. If you're direct sowing, which means sowing straight into the garden, say with beans, make shallow furrows in the soil. Furrows are just... like rows.
Yeah, a little ditch.
A little ditch, yep. Place at least 2 centimetres of seed-raising mix in the bottom of the furrows, and then again water just to make that soil mix nice and moist. Then when you get onto the fun part, which is sowing the seeds, and they just say use, if using packet seeds, sow according to the instructions.
Okay.
It's always the best way. I find that's always pretty good.
Yeah, so if I look at my peas, it says here, sow seeds 10 centimetres apart.
Mm-hmm.
Rows should be 50 to 80 centimetres apart, so make sure you've got your roller, measuring stick.
Mm.
Cover with 3 centimetres of fine soil or seed.
I've got, it's interesting that they've said that there. This is I'm doing a general seed raising guidelines, and they said no more than 1 centimetre on top.
Oh, okay. Well, this is for peas.
It may differ.
Yeah. It depends on how big your seed is.
Maybe I'll have to change that to no more than, shall we say, 2 centimetres if you just...
Like average it out.
Gardeners like us that are not very good at following instructions.
Oh, terrible.
And then just press down the soil lightly. The next part is covering. Cover the container with glass or a light plastic to retain moisture and warmth for optimal germination. Ensure there are small enough holes to allow for adequate air circulation.
Oh, so they might suffocate if you cover them completely.
And also, well, they breathe when they like any plant.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get all that condensation, and you don't want too much condensation.
Oh, true.
So, that's that. Then we're going to move on to the next step, which is where to put them, the environment. Put them in a warm spot, ideally with natural light. I recommend to sow during the phase of a new moon, and that's when the light of the moon is strengthening. Okay?
Okay.
What do you reckon on that?
Well, I looked it up, and apparently the first quarter to full moon when it is waxing, so getting fuller, is the best time for most seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's waning, oh, that's root crops. No, so waxing. Mm. Waxing
on
moon.
A waxing moon. So from when it like first starts waxing meaning you first see that little
getting
sliver
bigger, getting more light
present, and it's growing. So as it's growing, the light's growing, which encourages those seeds to, it's like they've got little eyes, but they've got little sensors and they can see the light. Oh, I'm going to grow towards the light.
Yeah.
And at that stage, growing upwards in the right direction is a big one. So that's apparently, and I have actually done that with my wild flowers. I sent you that photo. We should put it on the...
Yes, okay.
And it's, I'm just, almost every one of those seeds, and it's just, I haven't even covered them. I'm not even, I don't even follow my own instructions. I haven't, because I didn't have one big enough to, and I was like, oh.
If they're wildflowers,
I'm a bit of a lazy gardener, but I was like, and I just thought, oh, I had all these seeds, and I didn't want them to expire, and I thought, I'm just going to go for it and just chuck them all in, and just see what happens, have a bit of fun with it. And I did it on a new moon, and I think, like, 99% of them have germinated. It's insane. They're going crazy.
Hooray.
Well,
I've got this handy moon calendar here, and it says the 28th of October coming up is the new moon. So any time after that, good to sow seeds.
Yeah,
people.
So put that in your calendar. Circle the 28th, guys, and go, right, what's I going to do on the... Oh, yes, and just work towards and get all your stuff ready, which I'm talking about now, and then boom. Get it done. Get onto it. Because I find it's really quite good. I'm like, oh, you know, it's sort of like time and time, wait for no man. Oh, moon's in the right place. I've got to do it. No more procrastinating. Let's get onto it. So I find it really quite useful. If you want to plant indoors or do your seed raising indoors, you can use fluorescent lighting. Apparently that does the job too. And ideal temperature target is 21 to 24 degrees. So we're heading into summer, temperatures are warming up, so that's why we decided to talk about it today.
Yes, because I also did some research about that 20 degrees to 25.
That's probably easier to...
That's ideal temperatures for seeds to germinate, so that's why we do not do seed raising in winter, unless you have a greenhouse or something.
That's true. That'd be nice. Right. So, and then once you've done that and you've got them all tucked in their bed nicely and all the conditions are right, then all you have to do is just water very lightly and regularly. Okay, don't drown them. I've got what I've recently purchased, or recently within the last couple of years, but it's, you know, gardening's for life, so it'll be, it's, well, I have tools from they just kind of hang around. I've got a small watering can that basically when you tip it, a dribble basically comes out of it, and it's specifically for those small seedlings, and so I just kind of dribble it over it so it doesn't, you know, mess things up too much and disturb them too much, and I do it every day. So I have been doing that with those wildflowers that I was talking about. I have been diligently every day just giving them a gentle little, keeping that soil moist, really. That's it. Easy peasy. Now, the next stage is germination. Once the plants have germinated, it's time to remove that cover and move them to a slightly cooler area if you have one. Or
a cooler area?
Yeah, that's what it said.
Oh, why?
I guess to start hardening them up for when you...
Oh, okay. So they're nice and warm when they've germinated, and then they
it's
need
kinda
to
like,
be exposed to some...
The baby's out of the oven now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess, yeah. Then that brings us on to step 8, transplantation. Okay, if growing seeds in trays, the freshly germinated plants will need to be transplanted into small size pots once the second pair of true leaves has appeared. I'm going to have a go at saying this word. It's a scientific word. They call it, here we go, I'm going to give it a go, Selena. Cotyledon.
Cotyledon.
Cotyledon. That's first true leaves that appear, so there's two. And they look like, and they're full leaves that look like how the plant's leaves should look. And then at that point, they reckon that you can then transplant them into pots. Also, if you've got a whole bunch of weak seedlings in there, like weaker ones, you can snip them off with a sharp pair of scissors, do a bit of a culling session. An ideal seedling is short, stocky and dark green with the cotyledon.
Okay, yep. So not leaves. Spindly.
They say the more hardy type of germinated seed plants could even be directly planted out at this point. Like, I'm thinking of plants like maybe hellebores or maybe leeks.
Yep.
You don't have to, pop them.
No. Sometimes you can actually skip that stage.
Can you think of any other plants that you could do that? I was racking my brain this morning and that are hardy enough to
be direct sowing.
Yeah, like from that point,
sunflowers, by hardy they mean...
Yeah, well, sunflowers, can't you put them directly...
You can grow them directly.
Yeah, from seed.
But you need to do that once the weather's warmer. So what we do is we wait till the last frost has ended before we do any seed sowing outside.
That's true.
And then there's no risk of them getting bitten.
So this begins the hardening off process. As seedlings begin to develop, it is advised to harden them off by putting them outside at increasing time intervals. Sometimes I do that, sometimes I don't. It's all to help limit that transplant shock when they're finally planted out.
Yeah.
Into the garden.
Yeah.
Planting out. Step 10.
Oh, the fun part.
The seedlings are ready to plant in the garden. And like you were saying just before, this is to happen when there's no frost. We don't have to worry about that in Auckland. Our last frost was months ago. And they should be approximately the size of seedlings you buy in a garden centre by now. About 10 centimetres high, about that. Thereabouts. 5 to 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that step 12?
No.
Oh, there's more.
Hold your horses. Oh. Step 11, once they're in the ground, you've got to nourish them. Once your seedlings have established, you need to begin replenishing the nutrients used up during the germination. Okay? So okay. It's like when the mum has given birth, you've got to, like, you know, feed her up.
Okay.
Keep her, you know, it takes a lot to, you know, get it from seed to seedling.
Yep.
So all that wonderful, you know, nutrients that you get in that seed raising mix will be probably depleted by now. So just nourish them with a selected fertiliser and just be careful not to over-fertilise at this stage because they are still tender, they're babies, and you could end up in what is called fertiliser burn.
Oh dear. So a recommended fertiliser would be...
I knew you were going to ask that. I'd just go for probably like a seaweed based.
Yeah.
Like
seaweed tonic.
Mm.
Or worm.
I wouldn't be chucking anything too strong on, like, yeah, oh, that worm.
Worm castings or worm.
That's a nice
juice.
Gentle one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be chucking like your fish heads on at this stage,
no.
That's for sure. You know, think like when you feed a baby, you just give it mashed potatoes, mashed banana, like nice and sort of basic.
So they can easily digest, like a hamburger.
So just, we wouldn't want you to, you know, destroy your plants at this stage just because, you know, you're over-loving them. And then the final step in the process is to just protect your little plants. Using cloches to protect them from the elements.
So important. Mm. Because after all your hard work raising them, then they get chomped to bits.
Yeah. Slug and snail pellets, bran flakes.
Chicken wire to keep out those pesky chickens.
Oh, don't even get me started on that. Because I don't think we can have enough time, Selena.
Okay.
Apply mulch to keep the roots nice and moist and keep the weeds at bay. And the last thing is just ensure vigilance. Regularly check your plants for pests and disease that could potentially ruin your crop.
Okay.
So...
got to keep an eye on those babies.
Yeah. I know it's hard, but they say, because, you know, you have a busy day, you get home, it's the middle of the night, you've been, you know, meetings or whatever, life, and, you know, it does get away on you, and suddenly you go out and you think, oh my goodness, where are all my seedlings?
Do we need
What's
to
happened?
Do this full-time work at a nursery?
Oh, it is gardening. That's why a lot of people, I mean, I don't want to be harsh on the peoples, but it is time, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they say just a 5-minute stroll around the garden every day. Well, that's fine. I guess, you know, I can do 5 minutes, but it's what do you find in that 5 minutes?
Yeah,
that's
and then
the killer.
It turns into
oh, God, I had to go down to the shed and get this. Anyway, it's all fun. I'd much rather be doing that than work.
Okay, well.
So that's the 12-step process.
Okay, I got to write those down.
Hey, guys, I was going to say, actually, if anyone wants that, you know, I've got it all typed up beautifully. I'm happy to email anyone any of this information that I share. I've got it all on the laptop.
Excellent.
So please, if you, you know, would like a nice emailed version of it.
gardenplanetfm@gmail.com.
That's the one.
Okay. Wayne, let's go to our plant of the week.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. He'd spent about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch.
Okay, so plant of the week. What, I'm assuming that's got something to do with seeds, Selena?
Yes, our plant of the week, or... many plants, because you're not going to sow just one, is sprouts.
Oh, yay!
So sprouts are basically your little seeds that sprout. You don't even need to plant them in the ground.
Yeah, this is an interesting one.
And they're for you to eat as your salad vegetables or in your sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
So sprouts can be mung beans or soya beans, any kind of bean,
mm-hmm.
or peas. It could even be corn or radish or lentils.
Or anything that sprouts.
Well, you want to eat these seeds if you're...
It's got to be tasty.
You might not want to have flowers or trees.
I don't know. I've never really thought about it.
Could you eat them?
I know people grow broccoli sprouts.
Well, that's edible. Okay, I'm talking about edible seeds.
Yeah.
Edible sprouts, sorry. So the Chinese have been doing this for many, many centuries, particularly with those mung beans, and make those really nice crunchy bean sprouts that you can put in your stir fry, or mm-hmm. you can have them raw in your salad.
Mm.
And so to look for the seeds to sprout, you can go to your bin in the bulk food store where they have lots of those seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And what you need to do is have a jar, quite a big enough jar,
yeah.
maybe 2 to 3 tablespoons of those seeds, and pop them in.
Mm-hmm.
And you need a cover for the jar top that has holes in it. Mm-hmm. So ideally, you can use, say, cheesecloth or muslin
mm-hmm.
and stick a rubber band over it. And the purpose of that is so when you're soaking your seeds and you want to drain them, it can go out the cheesecloth so you don't lose all your sprouts.
Right. I don't know if I was listening or not. Do you put water in there as well? Or?
Okay, what you do, you put your seeds in first
yeah.
and then you soak them the least you can soak them is, say, 5 minutes,
yeah.
but you can soak them for up to 2 days. Don't soak them too long, just yeah. enough to get them wet
okay.
And soft, and then you drain out the water,
mm-hmm.
and then you leave it somewhere out of direct sunlight.
Okay.
And then the seeds will start germinating.
It's that simple. So
yeah.
You don't even need one of those fancy-pantsy sprout-raising thing. I mean, I've got one.
You could go to town on that, but...
You can do it in a jar.
You can do it in a jar.
Cool.
And the thing to do is to do the rinsing with the water
mm-hmm.
maybe twice a day, so you're refreshing the water.
Oh, right.
So don't leave the seeds sitting in water. You drain out all the water.
Oh, right, okay.
And
okay.
then it will start growing. And when you see those little... the leaves coming out and you think you're ready to eat them, put them in the sun
mm.
or put the jar in a bit more sun, not direct sun but more light
mm.
and then when you think you're ready to eat them or keep them in the fridge and then they'll
oh,
start
wow.
growing.
Do you do that?
I have done that before. I haven't
yeah.
done that lately, but I could get into it again.
Yeah.
So that is just so easy.
And where do you get the seeds from?
So you can get them from your supermarket, the bulk section. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, they have those bins that you can scoop out.
Yeah.
The beans, lentils.
Yeah, barley's a good one.
Yep.
Yep.
So
okay.
you just buy... A couple
right.
of, you know, bags of those.
Yeah. Do you use a large jar? Or is it...
Say a big coffee jar.
Oh, yeah.
Ideal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, those are your sprouts.
Okay. Done. I'll add that to my list of 12-step list.
And the good thing about doing that is you can do it any time of the year.
Oh, excellent. Cool. Yeah.
Okay, so that is nearly all we have time for, I'm afraid.
Oh dear,
oh,
so
but
quickly.
One thing I'd like to remind you, get out to the Parnell Rose Festival.
Yeah.
Or, on the 17th of November.
Okay.
Because they're all going to be in bloom.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Check it out, guys. All right.
Happy gardening, everyone.
See you later. Thanks for listening.
Bye.